Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 74, stanzas 1 through 4. O Lord, give ear when with my voice I cry aloud to thee. Have mercy also, I entreat. Give answer unto me. All stanzas of Psalter 74.
portion of God's holy word which we wish to read to you this afternoon can be found in the book of Psalms, thereof the 23rd Psalm. But before that, our 12 articles of our undoubted Catholic Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, we know not what to pray for as we ought, and therefore thy disciples did ask of thee, Lord, teach us to pray, and when we may have a form of words, though it be a sound form of words, and then we still need that prayer to be given in our hearts, that need to be planted and to burn by renewal also in the life and in the hearts of thy own children. For thou sayest of them, behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair, thou hast dove's eyes, but they must say of themselves, I am black. But when they may see it rightly as thou hast given it, then they may also say, I am comely. And that is then the comfort of thy children. Lord, and we cannot miss this as we travel to that great eternity. That is, that we may know those matters within our own hearts, each and every one of us. And thou knowest how that it is in the heart of each one. By nature it is vanity of vanities, all is vanity, saith the preacher. And then we come and we go from thy house, and each one goes to his long home, also to the grave. And we are so careless in all our natural state. Lord, we beseech thee for the power of thy Spirit, to work that irresistible work that thou alone art able to do in us and in our dear children, and that thy day which thou hast set aside for thy worship may not be without fruit. Lord, thou knowest we cannot worship thee, but we will worship thee if thou wilt grant it unto us. Oh, do it then, Lord, for thy own great name's sake and for thy honor. that thy name may be magnified beginning in the time and ending, no, never ending to all eternity. And that thou thyself would arise, awake out of thy sleep. Oh, that thou thyself would send forth thy Holy Spirit to us and our dear children, and not deal with us according to our many sins. Lord, take reasons then out of thyself, for there is no reason to be found in us, and the foundation is lying in thy good pleasure, and all that thou hast accomplished in thy only begotten Son. Oh, then he also must become precious unto us. Oh, that we, when we see nothing in him of beauty by nature, when there is no form and when there is no comeliness, and yet his voice does come also unto each one of us. Wherefore ye do ye spend money for that which is not bread? That we may receive ears to hear and hearts to hearken unto thee. Lord, that thou may deliver us from all the condemnation wherein we have brought ourselves in our deep fall in Adam, that we may feel something of the wretchedness of our hearts in the midst of a world not only, but our own heart that is so full of sin. Oh, that we may be given to feel something of the burden of it, and that it may weigh upon us as we go through this world, that we may desire to be delivered from it, not only from the miseries, not only from the consequences, but from sin itself and from the evil thereof. Oh, give us views of the evil of sin, of the sinfulness of sin, of the blackness of our hearts. Give us views of thy holiness, of thy righteousness, and of thy justice, that we may see it as it is in the reality, as we will see it in the day of our death, and in the day that we have to stand before thee in the judgment. Oh, that day that shall come upon us as such a surprise. Though we know it in our minds, we expect it not in our conscience and in our hearts. And thou sayest, it cometh as a thief in the night. And so it is experienced time and time again, when in this manner and in that manner a man is cut off in this life, and he is going suddenly to his long home. Oh, that the callings also that are coming unto us day by day and may be sanctified and may be blessed to young and old. Look upon our children and upon our youth, our school, all those that labor therefore and therein, our teachers that stand before our children, we beseech thee for them, for strength for the day, and for a grace for their souls, that they may also be examples for our children, that their work may be sanctified, and not only for the benefit for this life, but that our children also may learn to put their trust in God, that they might know His existence, they may know something of His wrath and His hot displeasure against sin, that they may know something of His voice that calls to turn away from all iniquity. Lord, that they may be converted in the days of their youth, and that our children may be as olive plants around our tables, and that there may be the fear of thy name in their young hearts, and that they may see what sin is, and that they may desire to turn therefrom, that they would not be able to step over a straw. Lord, that thou thyself may lead and teach them out of thy word, Make thou it a lamp unto their feet and a light upon their path. Oh, that each one of us together could not take a step in this life without thee, and that we may know something also of thy guidance and thy leadings in all our ways as we go through this life. Do look upon parents. Lord, help us in the bringing up of our children. Give us wisdom, diligence, faithfulness, strength, and thy grace within, and that we may know how to bring up our children in the midst of a wicked and a perverse generation. Oh, then we need steadfastness, and then we need to set an example also before our children of godliness. Oh, who is sufficient for these things, and who can put his hand into his own bosom and take it out clean. Oh, that we may not have children to bring them up for this world, but that we may feel our responsibility to thee who has given unto us our children, and for their soul which they take with them to their grave that must appear before thee. Lord, remember thou all those who bring thy word. Remember thou our theological school, the instructors, and those that are instructed, when soon they must take their exams. Oh, that thou may be on their right and on their left hand, and that thou may remember them and make it well in the week to come. And wilt thou supply for him also that hopes to begin to go forth in the midst of the congregations. Oh, give us also a place in our inner chamber for him. Oh, that thou thyself may make the mountains a plain that rise before him, and that he may feel that it is thee who calls and thee who sends, and that it is thee who qualifies him, and that his work may also be for the edification of thy church, for the building up of thy kingdom. Lord, that thou may increase also the number of thy truly sent servants. Thou sayest to pray the Lord of the harvest, to send forth laborers into his harvest. And we do use the means when we hope to meet together in the week to come as a curatorium. And thou knowest all how difficult that it can be. But thou can make it also so easy. Wilt thou also gladden us with thy deeds? And if it could please thee to send forth men who are chosen, who are called, who are sent forth by thee, that thou may remember all those that are persecuted for thy name's sake. Thou knowest also how that the devil, he goes about to destroy thy church. And thou knowest also the circumstances of all those that suffer persecution. Wilt thou remember the Jewish nation? Lord, thou knowest also that they have rejected thee, but thou art able to graft them in again, thou sayest in thy holy word. O Lord, we beseech thee again also for that people, that thou may open their eyes for the truth, and that they may see their great error, and that thou may open it unto them, and that they may be given to receive that truth in their very hearts. Wilt thou bless the labors that are done also among them and among all this world. Lord, that thou may look upon our nation, this nation in which we may dwell with our children. Thou knowest what has taken place also in the week that is gone by. O Lord, could it please thee to remember us in mercy? O that we would not depart further and further from thy word of truth. It is a judgment when thou lettest us go, and when thou stoppest us not upon our way. Oh, we beseech thee then for the evidence of thy favor and thy grace, and that thy hand would stop us, Lord, and that we would not be permitted to go on to our own destruction. We call for thy judgments. Oh, that thou may remember us and chastise us not in thy wrath, but in thy mercy. Wilt thou look upon us in this afternoon hour, when we are called to bring thy word once again? Wilt thou be with all that are not able to gather, that may try to listen by church telephone? O Lord, that thou may make it possible in this afternoon hour, and that thou may grant thy blessing upon it. And all those that are afflicted and sick, those whose needs are known unto thee, and we lay them before thee, those who may commemorate birthdays and anniversaries, wilt thou bless also these occasions to stop us upon our way. They are memorials that belong to the time, and they do show to us that our time that is going on and on, but our time that will also come to an end. O Lord, that thou may remember them also. Look upon us then in the bringing of thy word once again in this afternoon hour. O Lord, who is sufficient for these things? We do not know the hearts of our people. Thou knowest them, and thou knowest what is necessary in this afternoon hour. Oh, that it could be not for only an instruction in our minds, but may it be for profit for our souls, and that there may be place and room for thy word, and that thou may do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Forgive thou all of our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 1, and stanzas 1 through 5. That man is blessed who, fearing God, from sin restrains his feet, who will not stand with wicked men, who shuns the scorner's seat. We announce once again at our male members' meeting in Calgary on April 29th, Mr. Art Visser and Mr. Eric Slingerland were elected as elders. Both have accepted their offices. Lawful objections must be brought to the consistory by Wednesday, May the 13th. The last collection today is for the Calgary loan repayment. Psalter number 1, all stanzas. Beloved congregation, every Sunday afternoon, we consider together the questions from the Lord's days of our Heidelberg Catechism. Why is that? Why is it that we do not do in the afternoon as we do in the morning, that we are considering a particular text out of the Word of God? Our Heidelberg Catechism, that is what we call one of our forms of unity, along with our Confession of Faith and with the Canons of Dort, thus forms of unity. That is, they unite us. They unify us. They unify us around what? Well, they unify us around a certain interpretation of the Word of God. Is that so important? Yes, it is. Because there are so many interpretations of God's Word, many of which are erroneous, many of which are false. Because the devil, he goes about in this world not only as a roaring lion, not only to persecute men in an outward way, but the devil has received so many more of his subjects through deceit. And thus, the interpretation of that Word of God that is so very essential. When we frame our instructions and our exhortations around the questions of our Heidelberg Catechism, and then we are not departing from that Word of God. No, it is exactly the opposite. It is that those questions, they are so designed that they may be an explanation of that truth and that is lying in that Word of God, and that truth that is also experienced in the life of God's children in this world, and that is now so important. It is so important that it is coming directly out of that Word. Why? Because there is nothing else that is able to take hold of the conscience of a man than the Word of God. Our Word cannot do it, because then our Word may be one thing today and another thing tomorrow. The Word of man is changing. Man can make mistakes, but the Word of God is unchanging. The Word of God that is enduring, we read forever. There are young people in our world, what are sometimes called Bible churches. And then there is a certain pride that is taken in the fact that they do not have a creed that has been developed by a man, that they do not have a systematic theology, that they are not binding themselves to something that has been created by a man, but that they are only purely using the Word of God. And that sounds so good, doesn't it? You say, well, that sounds so right. And there are so many things in this world that can sound so right. But Solomon says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It is not right at all. Because what is a systematic theology? Well, that is not just the work of a man. No, but that is to compare the Scriptures with the Scriptures. And that is to explain the Scriptures by the Scriptures. That is, that we may receive the meaning of God's Word not only in one portion, but that we may show that that portion that does not contradict any other portion of that Word of God, but that that Word of God is one, even as God is one. And that that one author of that Word, he has been led by that same Spirit as every other author of that Word of God. And so that systematic theology that is so, so important also in our days. Luther, he said, doctrine is heaven. Do you know Luther? His eyes, they were open, and he has received so much comfort when he was doing what? When he was studying the doctrine in the Word of God. You say that doctrine, that is so dry. No. Luther, he said, doctrine is heaven. Because when that there may be a place in our heart for that doctrine to come and to fall, oh, then we shall experience something of the preciousness of that doctrine that is in that Word of God. But do you know what the apostles say? Says he says there is a time coming when they will not endure sound doctrine anymore. But they will heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears. And they will turn away their ears from the truth, and they will be turned unto fables. Oh, can we not see that so clearly in our world? Oh, and then there is a turning away from the doctrine. There is a turning away from the Scriptures, actually, in those what are called versions of the Bible, which are not accurate at all according to that which is truly written in the original. Oh, may the Lord keep us with His truth. Much of the content of that Heidelberg Catechism and the forms of unity that has come out of a great struggle. A great struggle with what? A great struggle with error. So much of that content that is coming out of a defense, a defending of the truth, and thus that ought to be so very precious to us. Do you know who wrote this catechism, young people? Two men. Zacharias Ursinus and Caspar Olivianus. Do you know how old they were? Not very old. One was 28 years old and one was 26 years old. And they were both professors in the University of Heidelberg already at that young age. Those were both renowned men for their knowledge. What a great gift the Lord has given to them in their intellect. But that is not all. No, the Lord has given to them also a great light. He has given to them a great light from above. What a blessed thing that is. When the Lord may use the gifts of a man, and when He may give light in the soul, and that those gifts may be blessed for the welfare of His church and for His people, because they have written a book that it has been received by the church ever since that day, and that has been subscribed to in the church through many different languages, that has been received also in the hearts of God's children ever since that it was written. Or has that ever been a comfort to your own heart? Or we hope when we may begin again that Heidelberg Catechism, because of the truths of that Word of God in which it contains, may become so precious also unto us. Today we begin again only with question number one. Question number one of Lord's Day 1. What is thy only comfort in life and death. Answer that I, with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who with His precious blood hath fully satisfied for all my sins and delivered me from all the power of the devil, and so preserves me in that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Yea, that all things must be subservient to my salvation, and therefore by His Holy Spirit, He also assures me of eternal life and makes me sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto Him. So far, our Lord's Day, the Church's only comfort in life and death. First, in what this comfort consists, and second, the blessings that comfort contains. The Church's only comfort in life and death, first, in what this comfort consists, and second, the blessings this comfort contains. What is thy only comfort in life and death? Comfort, what is that? The word itself that actually comes from the French language, and that contains two things. You know, boys and girls, that has the word fort in it. Come fort. And a fort, that is something you say that is very strong. And that is right. So that is the main part of that word, that it is speaking about something that is speaking about strength. And then on the front of that is come, or actually originally con, and that is pointing to something that is very intense. Thus, that word is actually speaking about a very intense strength, or an intense strengthening. Thus, it is as if it says, what is thy only strength, or what is thy only strengthening, or thy only intense strengthening in life and in death? There is an assumption in that. There is an implication in it. What does it imply? If we are looking for a strength, if we are looking for a strengthening, then it implies a certain weakness. Then it is an admission that there is a certain weakness. Where does weakness come from? Are you ever weak? Where does weakness come from? Weakness that comes from sin. Because weakness that is connected to death, sickness that is connected to death, weakness, and everything beginning in our fall. Thus, before that fall, there was no need for strengthening, an intense strengthening that our fathers are speaking about. Before our fall, there was no need for comfort. What is thy only comfort in life and in death? Thus, our Heidelberg Catechism begins here, speaking about comfort. Is that not a wonder? Thus, with the very first question, of our catechism, the first beginning instruction for the congregations, for the youth. And then it is as if the writers, they would like to draw our hearts. To draw our hearts with something that is so necessary for each and every one of us. It is as if they set before us a very blessed prospect. And that blessed prospect is a prospect of comfort, of strength. That is a word that is preached to men in this world who have to live in the midst of this world and have to experience something of this world. And what is our experience in this world? Our experience is the miseries in this world, the reality of our deep fall in this world. Where can man find in this world comfort? Is that not a search that is depressing? Is that not a futile search? And yet, all who really feels the need, who feels the need of this comfort that our fathers are speaking about, who feels the need of this strengthening, this intense strengthening, if we will feel the need of this, then we must feel, we must experience something in our life of our weakness. And when do we feel our weakness? Question one, that is very closely associated here with Psalm 23. Because Psalm 23 that was read to us, David is speaking in that psalm about the only comfort that is in life and in death. So we would say, and that now that could be our text. What does David say? He says, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Whose rod? Whose staff? That is the Lord's, that is God's rod and staff, that is Christ. He says, they give me a strength. They comfort me. They give me strength in my weakness. What was that weakness? What were the circumstances that David is speaking about here in this psalm? David says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." What does he speak about? He speaks about afflictions, about trials, about temptations that are in this world, and even to go so far as death itself. Afflictions. Afflictions are death's shadow. They are not death itself, but they are, as it were, the premonition. They are connected to, they are following that death wherever that it goes. They are speaking of death. Man is weak under his afflictions. Man is weak under his tribulations. He feels that weakness. Because if he had enough strength, he would throw them off. Because it is not his desire to be under them. But he has no power to throw them off. Is that also so with you? What is this life but death's shadow? That is, since the fall, since the Lord has declared that we should die, Moses, he says that the strength of our life, that is labor and sorrow, the strength that is the best part, the strongest part of our life, that is labor and sorrow. Thus, we have that shadow of death that is going over all our life because of sin. And then we experience in those afflictions weakness. And that is just a shadow of that weakness that we are going to soon experience in our death. What a weakness that man feels in this. What does Solomon say? He says there is no discharge in that war. You cannot fight against it. There is no shooting against it. That man is not able to retain his spirit. He must let it go. He can try to hold on, but he will find out that he is weak. Young people, the strongest one of you, the mightiest one of you, you are going to find out that in our death, we are but a weak man. And then it is in the experience of that weakness that David, he says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. They strengthen me. And they strengthen me in a very, very intense way. How? How did that rod and that staff strengthen, comfort David so intensely? Well, David, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That is now what our fathers say in this first question. When they speak about our only comfort in life and in death, that I, with body and soul, am both in life and death, am not my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. David, he was so very familiar with the sheep because he was himself a shepherd. What did he know about the sheep? He knew their weakness. Their weakness. What was the strength of those sheep? Children. What was the strength of the sheep? David says the strength of the sheep is their relation to the shepherd. Thus, that shepherd, he has a very special interest in those sheep because they are his own. And when they are his own sheep, then he cares for those sheep, their health, their strength, their existence, their preservation, everything about those sheep that is lying in the interest of that shepherd. What does that sheep not need from himself? Strength. He does not need his own strength. That is not a strong animal. No, that is a weak animal. And yet it is such a strong animal when it has a shepherd, when it has a faithful shepherd, and he is safe. Then despite all his weakness, he is safe from the bears, boys and girls, from the wolves, That is, everything that can come against those sheep from the outside, he is safe from them because of that shepherd. And he is also safe from his own nature because of that shepherd. And what is that nature of that sheep? That is that he wanders. And when he wanders, he is not able to find himself back again in the right place. What a nature. That is a nature by which in himself he would be destroyed. But it is all lying in the relation to that shepherd, that sheep he is so safe. Do you see how that our fathers, they are not preaching a doctrine which is their own, but how directly connected that is to the Word of God, and how that is flowing out of the Word of God, what is thy only comfort in life and in death? That I, with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own. And what does David say? He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Yea, he says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That I with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own. Comfort. Comfort that does not lie in independence. Comfort that lies in just the opposite. Comfort that lies in dependence. We were created in dependence. But it is our pride, by our pride, that we have sought our independence. But there is no comfort in that independence. Do you ever feel it? God alone has strength in independence. Because he is God. Because there is none to assist him. He is omniscient and he is almighty and he needs no one. Therefore, he may receive all the honor and all the glory. God alone, he has strength in that independence. But not man. Because man was created to be a dependent creature. That is now the glory of God. The great glory of God that is to be depended upon. That is to be the strength. That is to be the comfort of his people. Thus when David, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. That was so to the honor of the Lord. It is so pleasing to the Lord, because then the Lord, he may receive his right place, his honor. And David, he may receive such a rest in it. He may receive such a comfort in it. He may receive such a strength in it. What does David say? He says, by thee I have run through a troop. And by my God, I have leaped over a wall. See the strength. When David is going forth to meet that mighty Goliath, and when that whole people of Israel, they are melting away in fear. What was the strength of that young lad? Oh, he says, the Lord. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, and the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from this Philistine. Why? Well, the Lord, he is my shepherd. Let us sing. Psalter 55. The Lord, my shepherd, holds me. within his tender care, and with his flock he folds me. No want shall find me there. In pastures green he feeds me, and with plenty I am blessed. By quiet streams he leads me, and makes me safely rest. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 55. am not my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. To belong indicates a relation. To belong indicates an ownership. To belong means that there is a right of property, but belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And now that relation, that brings with it a whole host of blessed benefits. That is our second thought, that I with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood hath fully satisfied for all my sins and delivered me from all the power of the devil, and so preserves me that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Yea, that all things must be subservient to my salvation, and therefore by his Holy Spirit he also assures me of eternal life and makes me sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto him, a relation, a blessed relation between whom, that is, between Christ and his church. Because we can read that that church that was given unto Christ by his Father in Psalm 2, we can read that the psalmist says that I will declare the decree, and that the Lord, he says, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thus, the Lord, the Father, he is giving unto Christ his church because of a purchase. That is, the basis for the possession of that church by Christ. That is his mediatorial work. Thus, a purchased people. Our fathers, they speak of it here, who with his precious blood hath fully satisfied for all my sins and delivered me from all the power of the devil. That was an expensive purchase. What is more to us than our life? In Christ, he was not only divine, but also human. Same human nature as you and I. And that life that was also precious to him. But that church was bought by that highest price that a man can possibly give in this world. Bought at such a price, that church that must be dear to Christ, that church that must have a great value to Christ, who can fathom it? And it is not only David that points that out, but Christ himself, because he says, the good shepherd, he giveth his life for his sheep. And our fathers, they speak here the language of faith. Not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my heavenly Father. A very great strength, a very great comfort that is now proceeding from what? The knowledge of that relation. Is that not a blessed knowledge? Or do we seek for the knowledge of that relation? David says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. How is that? The rod and the staff, they are what? Well, the rod, that is for guidance, that is for direction. And that staff, that is for support. thy rod and thy staff do comfort me. Then sometimes for that sheep, that rod that was directly at his side for guidance, for direction. And that is for that sheep a comfort, because though he may not see that shepherd at that moment, he feels something of that rod and also of that staff. Oh, do we know something of that life that is lived by that church, when they may feel something of that rod and that staff that may be to their comfort? A comfort when they may feel that there is one who is guiding them in that way, not permitting them to go to the right hand or to the left, to preserve me from the ways of sin, to preserve me from the ways of temptation, when their soul that is drawn out after some temptation, and how often is the soul of that people so drawn out, that would threaten the life of their soul, that would threaten that nearness that may be experienced between them and the Lord. And then the flesh that is seeking that way. And then there comes that rod, that staff. Then the Lord is bringing in some providential turn, So that I am not able to realize that temptation, that it is not able to be brought to fruition, and that I feel something of that rod, that I feel something of that staff to guide me in that way, that I am not permitted by him who holds it to turn to that right hand or to the left, and to perish with the wicked. When you have come to some slippery place, by which your flesh was like to fall into this sin or into that sin, and when your heart has actually desired it, when in your heart that was already done perhaps, and the Lord, he is making some word to fall upon your ears, so that he does not permit you to take one step further in that way that you had desired to go, and so that you run from that place and you fall upon your knees and you acknowledge the Lord and say, Lord, and then it is such a wonder and that thou hast kept me from going in my own way. Oh, then you feel like the Lord, he has taken his staff and he has hooked it right under your belly, that you had not slipped and that you had not fallen. Oh, that rod and that staff, that is sometimes so much comfort, so much strength to that weak people. So weak to go the wrong way, so weak to wander, so weak to fall into those ways of sin that they are not able to keep themselves for one moment. Oh, if it was not for that rod, if it was not for that staff, you say it had been lost. But by that rod and staff, they may also experience something. Oh, they may experience something that is so blessed. And what is that? That is what our fathers are saying in this Lord's Day. They may experience something of a relation. They may experience that fact that I am not my own. Then they may experience something of what it is to be a sheep of that shepherd, and that they actually belong to that shepherd. Oh, David, he would have brought such sin upon himself, because Nabal, he would have been slain by him, and his wife and all his posterity and his servants, everyone. And who is it but the Lord who is standing in that way of David? And when the Lord does permit David to fall into sin with Bathsheba and a numbering of the people, then David may still say that the Lord, he does not permit me to fall away. But as we read here, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his own name's sake. David, one of those sheep, wandered continually because that's all that those sheep, that they know how to do. But now that great shepherd, he will not lose one of those sheep. He says, my sheep, they hear my voice and they know my voice. My sheep, they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And there is not one of them that shall be lost. David says, surely, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in that house of the Lord forever. What do our fathers say? They say the same thing. And therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life. Is that not the same word out of the Word of God? Assures me of eternal life. Why? Because I now have strength? Because I am no more wanderer? No. But because I am not my own. That is the only reason. It is a relation, a blessed relation. It is, congregation, the first question. The first question of our beloved Heidelberg Catechism, the salvation of that church of God that is not in keeping of that law, that is the first covenant, that is done. It is done. It is so impossible. Did you ever experience that? We have sinned it all away, and we have become weak through the flesh. There is no way anymore of entering in through that old way. But now we can read in God's Word that all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And it is a blessed way. Oh, it is a new way. Do you know? It lies simply in this. Simply in this. It is a blessed relation. A blessed relation between Christ and His church. There it is. In a few words, that I am not my own. Oh, we must be taken as sheep. We must be taken as sheep under the care of that great shepherd. Sheep that have wandered away from the Lord in our father Adam, sought our own way, and have become lost. Lost. Did you ever feel it? As a sheep that is wandering, that cannot find a way back anymore. Do you ever cry out under it? Crying out under a lost state, crying out under a lost condition. Oh, that great shepherd, that he would leave those 99 and go to seek out this lost sheep in the wilderness. Oh, that I may be brought also again into His fold, and that I may come under His care, under His protection. There is no comfort, no comfort, no strength in all this world outside of the knowledge of this relation. But in the knowledge of that relation, there is so much rest. There is so much peace, and it is so well. It is well for our body, our Father's sake, and then it is well for our soul. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do you hear it, young people? That is everything. What will you have to go through in this life? We do not know. We don't know what is coming. But if you may have this relation, then you will be kept. Then you will be kept by the power of God unto salvation, ready to be revealed in that last time. There is no way you can keep yourself. Do you believe that? Do you believe that when you sit before that computer and those other instruments that you have, do you believe you cannot keep yourself? Do you experience that you cannot keep yourself? Do you experience that you are weak? Weak in that warfare against sin? Is there something of that warfare? In your conscience, you know those things are wrong. In your heart, do you desire also to love the Lord? To depart from those ways? Do you feel the weakness? Or if we may feel the weakness, then we may say, Lord, I am weak, but thou art strong. Wilt thou then make me one of thine? Wilt thou bring me into thy fold? And wilt thou thyself keep me on every side? That we may be given to cry out under that separation between God and our soul, that we may be brought to belong to Him forever and forever. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it is Thy own word. What a blessed word. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. May it be, even in this first question of this first Lord's Day, that there may be a little dew which has fallen from above, that there may be a little something, and that is for the drawing of this heart or of that heart, in the midst of this world, in the midst of all our misery, evil, and sin, that may be drawn, that we also may be taken up by Thee. We do not deserve it. Take reasons out of Thyself. Look upon us in the rest of this day. And wilt Thou bring us safely to our places. And wilt Thou be with us on Thy day. And give us to keep it holy. And wilt Thou bless the reading and maybe the singing, and that we may do even in our own households. Help Thy servants in the bringing of Thy word in the other congregations also here. In the language of this land, make it easy. Open Thy word. Be with us in the week to come. The mothers in the homes, the fathers in all their labors. And wilt Thou grant us the necessary rain from the skies, the sunshine, that the crops may be given to grow, and that Thou wouldst bless us undeservedly, give us a desire to be together. And when we hope to commemorate in this week the crowning of the great King, that we may desire, that we may hear and be under Thy word, under His word. For Jesus' sake, amen. Psalter 203, all stanzas in sweet communion, Lord, with Thee. I constantly abide. My hand Thou holdest in Thy own to keep me near Thy side. All stanzas of Psalter 203. Thank you. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessed.